one of the most disturbing aspects of yesterday's event to me is how it pushes us farther into us versus them as a public society, as a nation. But there is no other, no us against them. Don't we each carry pieces of this man and this woman in our own beings? We are wrestling with how to come together with ourselves. How do I admit and reconcile violence in my own self? How can I be brave enough to speak up when I have been hurt? To not inflict violence, to be vulnerable, to trust, to speak truth and be heard with compassion, to be all of myself and not be forced to choose only one side, only one label. It is hard, hard stuff. There is no other, no them. Are we as a nation going to be able to start seeing each other this way? And how we treat each other? How we treat the earth and all creatures? How we treat ourselves? I so want to believe that we will keep trying in whatever way we can. I intend to.
My dears, it has been a hard week. After another hard week, I think we really are in the midst of an epic struggle. We are at a change point, and the change is difficult in coming. We are hearing and seeing things and experiencing a level of intensity that is hard to bear. It has been hard to breathe some days. And then on Friday, when I was moving back and forth between the news and social media and writing a sermon, that movement that probably many of us do is... it's hard on the mind, isn't it? Well, somewhere in that collection of things, my imagination offered me the image of Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye striding into the Senate hearing room, right in the middle of something or other, and leaning over one of those longtime male senators' shoulders and saying, "Oh, honey, this is not working." And sort of draping himself over their shoulders as he can do. He is a big personality, and he is playful and dramatic and so fearless that it is astonishing. He was bullied as a young person growing up in a small town in the Midwest, being his big self. And he learned to deal with bullies. Although I think he may just be that way. I read an interview in which he described a picture of his mother when she was a child. She's posing with her swim team, and they all have little swim caps on with the little ruffles and the flowers. But his mother did not have a flowered swim cap on. She had horns on her swim cap. And this is a few years ago now. So I think he comes by this way of being in the world honestly. This is who I am, and this is how I'm going to do it. I think he might walk right into a Senate hearing and interrupt proceedings. And he would stand there, leaning on something, and talk about how vulnerability is really strength. Well, this offering of my imagination gave me a moment to laugh and breathe on Friday as the drama of the Senate Judiciary Committee played out. And that is Jonathan's gift on Queer Eye. He brings laughter and lightness and a huge love to every interaction. And then what slides in on the coattails of that playfulness is a profound sense of shared humanity and being treasured. I think that Jonathan is aware that his way of walking through the world is profound in and of itself. He's aware that he has a purpose that's burning in him. He knows that he has this big mythic thing to offer the world. So he goes about doing that. And when you are clear that what you're doing in the world is important and profound, just as it is, you can be kind of light about it. Jonathan just dives in after people's humanity by refusing to be afraid and refusing to take their defenses too seriously. He's quite clear about something that his fellow Queer Eye star Bobby says in the opening trailer. Gay or straight, the common thread that holds every human together is that they just want to be loved. This week, how profound is it to have men being respectful, talking about love, being kind and vulnerable and honest, being clear about their own power and ability to affect other people? It matters which stories we give our attention to, and it matters which stories we keep telling as part of our cultural myths. So I keep going back to Queer Eye as one of the texts of the present moment, one of the places where revelation is occurring right now. That's one of our tenets as Unitarian Universalists, that revelation is continuous, that it keeps showing up all kinds of places. Sometimes in places you don't expect it. Sometimes in places that you keep going back and looking for it. So the men on Queer Eye have an astonishing ability to walk into any situation looking for connection and beauty and love. And they bring a fair amount of love with them, which makes it easier to find as they go out into the world. They arrive at a stranger's house, hug them, pile up on their couch, and begin to ask big questions right away. They are interested in being hopeful and engaged from the very first moment. It's easier to pull that off if you have good friends arm in arm with you. But I think it's how they've trained their minds to meet the world with curiosity and appreciation. Jonathan says, "I've been through a lot. I've experienced pain and suffering, and I think because of that, even when things are not good, I can find moments of joy and pockets of gratitude." In one episode, they are doing a makeover for a man who has lived alone for a long time. In fact, he hasn't had anyone come through his front door in a long time, it sounds like. And he has let his home and his own well-being go. And when the Fab Five show up and catch up with him while he's walking his dog, and they all rush in for hugs, as they always do, he literally backs away from them. It's too much. It's overwhelming. And yet he signed up for it. He signed up because he wanted to live differently, bigger, bolder, love his life more. And you get to watch them just keep loving him. They keep telling him how wonderful he is. They keep telling him how beautiful he is. They keep telling him what he can do with his life. They keep telling him what they see in him that he can't see himself. You get to watch people loving someone just right out loud. And then they take him boxing, which was not what I expected them to do in this situation in which they're trying to use love to make a connection that's hard to make. But afterwards, they explained that sometimes when you need to knock down the walls between people, you need to get right in there, make a lot of physical contact, and then you can find each other. And in fact, that's what happened. After he went boxing with them, it changed. And then when Jonathan cut off, the man had hair about this long and a beard about this long. I guess it had been almost down to his belt for a while. And Jonathan said, "I think you're trying to hide behind that, and I want to see you." So they cut most of it off. They donated the ponytail to Locks for Life. Just one of those little moments of there are so many chances to be thoughtful and loving. And then this man, who had been so reserved, got up and spontaneously hugged Jonathan to thank him. His ability to make contact and be loving had shifted. Now, I talk about all this effusive love, and I want to be clear that the Queer Eye men do not sugarcoat things. They go into people's houses and lives, and they go through all their stuff, and I mean that physically and metaphorically, and they say out loud, "This part is not working." When one of the makeover recipients asks one of the Fab Five, who in his marriage, the marriage of two men, is the man and who is the woman, Jonathan squawks and says, okay, let's break that down. And they have this huge conversation about gender roles and masculinity and femininity and marriage for all people and how we have equity and true love between people. It's a huge conversation. And they stay right there with this person. They keep treating him like they love him. It's just that this one thing has to get worked out in his thinking. It's amazing to watch people do that. Love each other and challenge each other. Be present and not just be nice. Because none of us get it right all the time. And in fact, getting it right is not the goal. The goal is to understand more deeply. I appreciate Jonathan also because when they walk in to meet these people, he tells every single person that they are gorgeous. And he means it. He has an extremely trained eye, and he can see the beautiful in every single person. And he tells them exactly how they're beautiful. It's not the same as love, seeing beauty. But particularly from Jonathan, it's very similar. He is celebrating the person, just as they are, in their own particular being. It's a great practice to notice what's beautiful about every person that you interact with, including yourself. Jonathan is so fierce about this that people must take care of ourselves and appreciate ourselves, that it's part of how we are fully present in the world. So I think when we come to church, we're seeking connection to life, to wholeness, to each other. That we come here because we want lives of depth and intention. And if that's why we're here, if that's the terms that we're on here, then I think we can talk to each other like the Queer Eye men do, with total love and enthusiasm all the time, and go after the hard conversations every time, because we know that it's about making sure we're connected and loving. Trust that there is enough love in the room to hold the conversation. Act like you belong right here. And be looking for love and beauty everywhere you go. Practice it here, and then take it to the streets. Truly, the Queer Eye men walked in and wrapped their arms around people that they knew they disagreed with, that they knew disagreed with them, that they knew that they had to get past some amount of disapproval. And they decided to walk in with big hearts. And connections were possible that you might not have guessed were possible. And I have to tell you, when I was watching interviews, the Fab Five were talking about how they might be willing to engage in some of the political conversations that are out there right now. And Jonathan actually said, quite clearly, he wasn't sure he'd be willing to go and step into the political spaces right now and engage the conversation. He wasn't talking about Senate hearings, but I think what he was saying is that he wouldn't go there. His work and his heart, he was going to take to places that were ready to have the conversation. Meanwhile, Karamo, one of the other men, said, "Oh, I've actually already been and had a conversation with some of the politicians. And they told me not to mention that I was gay, but I brought it up anyway." And they had a conversation about who's in which part of the conversation at any time. So my imaginary life of what Jonathan would do is just imaginary. He has his own way of living in the world and his own way of being present and loving in every interaction that he is in. So we will hang together these next days, weeks, months. Keep figuring out which conversation is ours to be in, which conversation is someone else's to be in, how we can be with each other in that complex and evolving conversation. And everywhere that you can muster it, walk in with as much love as you have. Pass out love notes. Be fabulous. Intrude on each other. We've got divinity to uncover in the faces around us. We've got a world to turn around.